Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Brown Zone Zone Coverage Podcast. The Browns did it again, winning a thriller over the Colts in the final seconds. They did it again without Deshaun Watson at quarterback. The Browns are 4-2 and getting some incredible performances. Yet questions remain because of the quarterback uncertainty. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. What's going on, Chud?
Scott, just enjoying another. Well, can we call it a Victory Tuesday? I mean, we call them Victory Mondays. I mean, Tuesdays are always that day after losses where you're kind of transitioning to try to get over it. I think we just keep enjoying this. Although, hey, it's just how we wrote it up, right? 39-38, just as we predicted. I mean, the over-under hit at halftime.
Yeah,
I can't believe all the points that were scored in that game.
I'm with you. You know, and we can get into it. But, yeah, the defense didn't play like you thought it would, like anyone thought it would. The offense played probably better than you thought it would, given what happened at quarterback. And obviously the Browns defense had a big part in the points, Myles Garrett in particular. But, yeah, it was not the type of game I expected. It wasn't the type of flow. You know, I thought both teams would kind of shut it down. It'd be a bunch of running. Instead, Gardner Minshew's throwing it all over the place. P.J. Walker's got to make plays late. So it was certainly different than I expected, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're 4-2. Got to love that. Doesn't matter how you get there. It's the fact that you're there. But yet that little cloud still hangs over the fact that they won. And, you know, we live in a city where some fans and certainly most of the media, you know, it's almost impossible around here to completely enjoy the win because of the Deshaun Watson situation and the unrest and wondering if you have him for this week, the rest of the year. He says he doesn't even know if he's going to be 100% the rest of the year. But let's just go back and start with that before we break down the game, because I feel like that's the lead story, unfortunately. What happened? I mean, he certainly did not look great when he was in there. Then he gets hit. But then he doesn't come back in the game, but he's standing on the sidelines. He passed his concussion test. I mean, it was just a bizarre scenario. It was almost like you had this weird, dramatic thing happening on the side while the game was going on.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I was at Indy. So, you know, you're in the press box, and you've been there, Chud, a bunch of times. You know how it works. They say it on TV, too, but in the press box, they announce the injuries, right? Guy leaves, it's, you know, and what you would expect would be Deshaun Watson, shoulder injury, questionable to return, or it's doubtful to return, or will return, or ruled out of the game, right? I mean, that's just common NFL practice. And we're sitting in the press box, and there's no update. Then you get his cleared concussion protocol update, which, okay, that's important. You know, you needed to hear that. You could kind of tell that because they don't let a guy sit on the bench if he has a concussion, right? And Watson was back on the bench. So I figured he'd cleared the protocol. But there's no update on the shoulder. And that means that the Browns didn't think it was an injury that needed to keep him out of the game. And Kevin Stefanski said as much afterward when he said, hey, it was my decision. I was trying to protect Deshaun Watson. I'm trying to protect our franchise quarterback. So if you feel he's good enough to start the game, 12 plays later, one kind of big hit where he falls on his back. I don't know if he was even directly on the shoulder. That's a pretty big shift. Now, I get it. I get that Watson is probably not comfortable yet. He looked like he was shaken up by the fall and the hit and was holding his arm differently. So it's just interesting, right? It feels like, okay, the shoulder was probably good enough for him to play, but he didn't. And then he says he's going to have more tests on it. He didn't know if he'd be able to practice or play this week. He wouldn't even say if he felt like if the shoulder was worse, or he was, you know, he said he was praying it didn't get worse because of what happened Sunday. I think bizarre is a great word to describe it, Chud. And, you know, as we sit here on Tuesday, this is Tuesday morning, we're taping this. The overriding feeling for me, and I wrote this yesterday, is just the uncertainty, right? Kevin Stefanski, all he would say Monday is day to day. Wouldn't go any deeper than that. And that's a tough place to be, right? In week eight, not knowing if your quarterback's going to practice on Wednesday and play on Sunday. And I'm not trying to be too dramatic, but it feels like every week, right? Now, it's only been the last three games, but it's now a month where you really head into the week not knowing if your starting quarterback's going to play.
Let me ask you this question, and it might be a difficult one, but it's the next one, and it's, I think, a pretty important one. Do you believe Stefanski when he says he was protecting Watson, or do you think he was perhaps protecting his team and felt that they actually had a better shot to win with P.J. Walker over Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, that's a good question, Sean. I think it's protecting. I don't think Kevin Stefanski decided that Walker gave him a better chance to win. And I know that Walker pulled it out, and he deserves wonderful props for that. And it's two games in a row that he pulled out late drives. And I'm not taking that away from P.J. Walker. But he's not Deshaun Watson, right? I mean, he's still on the practice squad, for crying out loud. He made, I would say, multiple turnover-worthy plays in that game, just like he did against the 49ers. And yes, there's it feels like there's an element with Watson of, I don't know, he's not comfortable yet with the shoulder. And that's how it feels. Although he said he felt good before the game, right? It feels like there's some hesitancy with Watson. And maybe Stefanski sensed that and said, hey, you know, he's not in the frame of mind to win this game. He takes the big hit. He got off to the slow start, which Watson kind of argued with that characterization. Just silly. He's 1 for 5 for 5 yards and a pick. That is a slow start.
Another pick.
Yeah, right. So maybe all those things factored into it. But I don't think it's as simple as I think P.J. Walker gives the Browns the best chance to win. I don't think Stefanski thought that. I think it was all of it combined, including this guy is a franchise quarterback. He just was rattled by this hit, shaken up. They thought it was a big hit. Let's shut him down. So I don't think it's as simple as Watson played poorly for 12 snaps. Let's get him out of there. I think that was at the bottom of the list of reason of why they made the move.
Yeah, I in my opinion, I think it's a combination of he wanted to make sure that he didn't get him hurt even more moving forward, but he also saw what we all saw and maybe thought, you know what, he might just not be ready today. And that could be where I don't know if I want to say he thought P.J. Walker gave him a better chance, but in his mind, he went with the gut feeling of, I'm not sure Watson has it today. I don't know if he can pull this off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, you know, go on the side of caution here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not saying it wasn't a factor at all in the decision. I just don't think it was the number one decision. Like, if Watson hadn't taken that hit, let's say, I don't think Stefanski says I'm going to pull him. You know, I don't think
that's true.
You know, so. Yeah. So if you combine that with, well, the medical team saying the shoulder's okay, is right, then, you know, then it's all the combination, I guess. So, yeah, I think you're right to bring that up. It's certainly an interesting aspect of it. It's relevant moving forward is the Browns decide and Watson, but the Browns and Watson decide if he's going to practice this week, if he's going to play this week, right? Like, there's a theory out there that, hey, maybe you just give Watson some more time. Mentally, physically, just make sure he's 100% ready or as close to as he can be and stick with Walker. I think everything you said plays into that, and I'm not saying that's not possible, right? That could be possible this week. I know Stefanski after the game said Watson starting in Seattle if he's ready, but maybe everyone puts their heads together and determines he's not ready, right, for everything that means.
Well, let me ask you this. You bring up a good point. You say that maybe he needed more time. Let me ask you this. Should have they maybe not started him this past game? Should they have given him another week?
Well, I mean, it's certainly easy to say that with how things went in Indianapolis, right? But I'm watching him practice Friday, and I watched practice Thursday. I mean, the practice that we get to watch, right, the first 20-ish minutes. Thursday, there was progress from the last time we'd seen him throw, but it wasn't great. You know, there were low balls. It didn't feel like he let one rip when I was there. Now, he may have in the team drills because he took all the first team reps. So you'd like to think he threw it in those reps. But then Friday, we saw him make a ton of throws because it was red zone, goal line throws, and they were right in front of us, and he made a ton of them, and he looked good, like velocity-wise, all that stuff. So I wasn't surprised he played on Sunday, and I don't question the fact that he played on Sunday. Like, and I don't want to compare this too much to the Baker of 2021 because they're not – it's not direct – it's not an apples-to-apples direct comparison. But my point is the same. If your quarterback says he's ready to play, then you play the starting quarterback. Like, you see throughout the league, if Josh Allen says he can play, he plays. Patrick Mahomes plays. Like, you start your quarterback, especially if he was, at the time, the number one overall draft pick, or the $230 million guy, right? Like, if he's physically able to play and says he can play, you play the guy. Like, I understand. I don't agree with the, oh, you got to proceed with this caution. You got to do that. Like, that's not how it works in the NFL. The Bengals played Joe Burrow week one, right? Even though Jamar Chase didn't think they should play him. Like, you play your quarterback. That's how it works. And maybe I'm being short-sighted. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I see it. So I did not have any issue with them starting.
So do you think he will be back out there this Sunday? Do you think he should be if everything is the same as it was leading into this last game?
Well, yeah, if it's the same, if he's able to throw in practice and throw well enough in practice, then yes, I think he's your guy. And part of that to me, Chud, is he's got to get back to – he's got to get a comfort level on the field. And I don't think rust is necessarily, you know, like we talked all about the rust coming off the suspension. Like, yeah, he hasn't played in a month. Like, yeah, okay, there's a little kind of whatever, get your feet back into it kind of thing. But it's not, you know, that shouldn't be that big a deal. You miss a month, right? But he obviously needs to find that level, that comfort level, where he's back to being the guy that he looked like against Tennessee, which is a month ago, right? Like, and we didn't see that in the first 12 snaps, those first five passes. You just didn't see it. So I don't think that's going to miraculously happen. I don't think it just happens because he practices for two straight weeks. And again, I could be wrong about everything, and I could be wrong about this. Maybe if he has nice routine practices for a couple of weeks, then he feels good to go. But I tend to think, well, you got to shake off whatever cobwebs they are, for lack of a better term. The only way you do that is by playing. So get him back out there and play him as long as the shoulder is healthy enough and he's throwing it well enough. The other part of that is, you know, there's only so many reps in a practice week. So, are you giving him the first team reps and then sending PJ Walker out to play on Sunday? Do you have Deshaun Watson with the scout team for a couple of weeks? Like that's just a weird dynamic that, like, is, I don't think you see it in the NFL. So, yeah, if he's practicing and gets the green light and says he's ready, then I play him.
So on Channel 3, on 3 News, Scott, you know, we have the point after.
Yeah.
And that airs at 7 o'clock with Jimmy Donovan. Obviously, he's out right now, so Nick Camino has been doing it. And I bring this up because there was talk last night on that show, and I've heard it on multiple radio programs as well.
Mm-hmm.
The thought that the Browns need to trade for a veteran quarterback, that they cannot move on with PJ Walker, with Deshaun Watson, situation unclear.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that? Do you believe that they need to go out and give another quarterback?
It's a great question. I know Jason Lloyd, right? Jason Lloyd, Mayor Kay Cabot are on the point after. Jason Lloyd, you know, he wrote about going to get Jacoby Brissett in The Athletic. I was out with Jason on Saturday night and Mary Kay. It's an interesting topic. Here's my thought on that. If you knew Deshaun Watson was going to be out for the rest of the season, right? Let's say someone decides that all of a sudden that strain and those micro tears are bigger and he needs some kind of surgery, which I don't think there's any indication of that. But let's say that happens. Or he says, hey, I can't play and I'm going to be out 6 or 8 weeks. Then I would try to get Jacoby Brissett. I think he's the best option available assuming he's an option, right? I mean, I don't know if Washington is willing to trade him. Sam Howell, I know Sam Howell won the starting job and they like what they've seen of him. He's also been sacked 40 times. So, you know, if you're Washington and still think you have a shot to go to the playoffs and, you know, it's early. I know they're struggling, but it's early in the year. I don't know if you trade your veteran backup that was a priority for you to get in free agency when your starting quarterback's getting a snot kicked out of him every week. So that would be the first question. Is he even available? But if he is, I know you could do it financially. That's not a problem. He would be the guy I would go after. But if it's just a – but that's only if you knew Watson was going to be out, right? If Watson's telling you, hey, I don't know, it might be a month, it might be two, then I would look into that. But, you know, if the doctors tell you that Watson's shoulder is okay and you expect him to go out there and play and finish games and take hits, which should be your expectation, I don't know if that move is a necessity. I think it might cloud things. Now, I'm not arguing, like, I fully believe that Jacoby Brissett is the best option as your number two quarterback. I would only feel pressure to make that move if you felt like Watson was going to be out. And at this time, I don't think we know that. I think there's a reasonable expectation he is back this week, even though it feels completely uncertain at this moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Any other quarterbacks? Would you even look into any others? Or
yeah, I mean, I know just... I was on 92.3, did my Monday hit, and they asked Jeff Phelps likes Nick Foles a lot. You know, that's interesting. You know, obviously took the Eagles, came off the bench, took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. And I don't know if he has experience, you know, I don't know if he's got experience with anybody inside the Browns organization. I'm trying to connect those dots. You know, he's a guy that's done it. You know, you hear the go get Kirk Cousins. It's like that. First of all, I don't think that doesn't seem likely after Minnesota wins yesterday. He has a no trade clause. Like a bunch of those high, like big name guys, like that only works if you kind of feel like Deshaun Watson isn't going to play again this year and it's even questionable beyond that. You know, like, I mean, they're tied to Watson for the next 3 years after this. I think Browns fans are just going to have to accept it. He's going to have to fight through this and he's going to have to figure it out unless something drastically different happens with the shoulder.
Well, everyone just thinks, too, that you can just go make these trades. Sure. And like you said, the other team's going to do it. Plus, we've already traded enough picks as it is. And how much money? There's a lot of other factors that go into it.
No, that's a great point, Joe, which is why you only do this if you feel desperate, right? Like if there's a chance he doesn't play again this year, or if he misses eight games and you go, well, you can't win with PJ Walker for eight games, right? Then you need to go get a stopgap. But then it would be a stopgap, like, you know, which is why Brissett makes sense and he could come in, and he could play because he was here last year and he knows the system. Again, you can't just fit a quarterback into a system. You can't, it's hard to fit a receiver into a system, you know? So I think a lot of it is probably wishful thinking, except Brissett makes the most sense given all those things and given the fact that he was here a year ago and guys love him. They play hard for him. If the Browns had this defense a year ago, they would have gone to the playoffs with Jacoby Brissett, right? Because the defense was what let him down. Brissett played well enough.
Yeah, and we'll get to the defense in a second. Let's wrap it up here, though. My final thought, we're just never satisfied in this town with our quarterback, are we, Scott? P.J. Walker wins two games, and we just we're just never happy. I get it. I have eyes. I've watched the games, but it's just funny. Like, it's always a subject. We're never happy.
Oh, that's exactly right. And real quick on this point, Judd, you kind of said it to start, and I'm writing a little analysis that is talking about this a little bit. But you do, I mean, you feel like the way this Watson situation is right now, it's fair to say, like, that's affected the fan base's excitement level, right? And enjoyment of 4-2 and two straight wins. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just want to verify that.
No, you think that, don't you?
I mean, I do, but yeah, you know, it's been a crazy. I was driving back from India, a bunch of stuff going on. I just wanted to, like, I don't know if I have the pulse on this one, and I figured I did, but I just wanted to kind of get a second opinion on it.
No, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, listen, we're all excited about being 4-2, but it definitely seems to be the case that it's kind of like that. I don't want to say to this degree, it's like, you know, that old saying, you know, you can't have nice things like when something good happens. But you got to deal with. So I think it's just frustrating. It was just a weird watch because, like I said, you're watching him on the sideline. You're like, well, is he okay? Can he come back in? I just think, I mean, I get the pulse. Fans are just frustrated. The whole Watson thing in general, like, you pay all this money for a guy and you think you have your franchise quarterback, and we have yet to have that. We've yet to see it. So now if they keep winning, I don't think it matters. Listen, wins heal everything. So, you know, listen, if we were 2-4 right now, then it would be a major problem. Sure. I just think I don't want to say it's a problem. It's a nuisance, maybe. How's that?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And he's such a tough guy to embrace, right? I mean, he has been a difficult guy to embrace that this hasn't helped. And the way it's played out hasn't helped. You know, I'm going to play against the Ravens and then not playing against the Ravens. I think all of it goes together, right? To why I think there's probably more frustration with him than there would be a different quarterback. And to me, that's completely understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we went pretty bulky with that talk with good reason. So I have a lot I want to hit with you. So we'll probably have to just be a little bit shorter on all these topics. I mean, there's a ton to get to. Yep. Let's start with the running game. I mean, obviously a big deal, very successful against the Colts. Unfortunately though, you got ankle sprain for Ford, right? So he's going to be out for a certain amount of time. What'd you think of the running game? Kareem Hunt, great story. Local kid get the game-winning touchdown, but yet you have another injury to deal with here.
Yeah, I like what they're doing schematically, running the ball. And we saw it on that, was the third play of the game where Jerome Ford goes 69 yards. We saw it some with even Pierre Strong Jr. in the game, had a couple nice runs. Obviously saw it with Kareem Hunt's two touchdowns, including that, you know, the winner from the one, you know, from the 1 yard line. So I think they've figured out some of the problems they had heading into the bye, right? They had those two games in a row before the bye. They didn't run it great. So I think they figured out some of that. And so I like that part of it. The Jerome Ford part, that's not great because they miss his explosion when he's not in there. I don't think anybody on the roster has the same speed, that breakaway speed. And he's going to miss a week or two, it sounds like. Maybe longer, you know, it's not supposed to be a severe high ankle sprain, but those are still bad. So, you know, they're probably going to have to make a move there. But I think in the interim, they're going to have to just grind it out with Hunt and Pierre Strong and really lean on that offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to the defense now. 38 points they gave up. So, of course, I'm one of the few that have – and last week I pretty much said, all right, I'm there. This is an elite defense, blah, blah. But I am one of the ones that it's taken the longest to get to that point because, like, you have the Ravens game that happens. And, you know, I got a little ahead of myself in the next game. You know how I've always kind of questioned whether they were elite or championship. And I feel stupid many times for questioning that. But then as I'm watching this game, I'm like, 38 points. But then again, Scott, 4 takeaways, which leads to 17 points. So, hey, if you're going to give up the points, at least basically they won the game for them. I mean, the defense again, and I know the offense came through with the drive at the end of the game, but man, if it weren't for the defense, they don't win this game. So it's like mixed reaction there, right?
Yeah, no, it was a great point. And they had a big stop late, you know, the fourth quarter. They got one or two stops after they gave up that long touchdown, the 75-yarder. I think there was two stops, which gave the offense a chance to win the game. Certainly, they got that 3-and-out right before the game-winning drive by the Browns. So, you know, I think those were letdowns that – breakdowns in the back end of the defense that could have been avoided, should have been avoided. I don't feel like this is this giant red flag, like, oh, my gosh, they're vulnerable. I just think they had a bad game. I think Shane Steichen and the Colts staff did a good job. They found some areas where they could keep the Browns off balance, as Myles Garrett said. took some shots and they paid off. The Browns missed some tackles on some big plays. They got caught up in a couple of bad matchups and blew some man-to-man coverage, which happens when you play as much man as the Browns do. You better be good in it. And if you're not, and if you get caught in a bad matchup, the Colts have some speed and they're faster on turf. And I think they exploited that. Miles Garrett said they did not expect Gardner Minshew to run like he did inside the red zone. And he had two rushing touchdowns. And those were big, right? Right. And those turned out to be big. And he does a shimmy after at least one of them. I guess my overall point is I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be really good. They're still number one in the league yardage. But it is, you know, a reminder that they're not the 85 Bears. And they need to bring it every week, especially when the offense is still uncertain. They're going to have to lean on this defense repeatedly. And I think this was – and I hate the term wake-up call. I think the defense will learn a lot of lessons from this game.
Yeah. Well, one thing, too, is I was thinking about when I was watching the game, I'm like, you know, this is the first time – well, second road game, but they took a bus to Pittsburgh, right? So this is their first plane trip, I think.
Correct. And correct.
I mean, you know, they've played a lot of games at home in rainy weather. That helps the defense, your home field. So I guess what I'm saying is let's see them now. They need to go on the road and start being dominant. You know, they were good in Pittsburgh, right? I mean, they gave up the big play.
Oh, yeah.
I think the key is I'm going to be watching the defense now the rest of the year. I hope that a big play like the one to Pittman, the one in the Steelers game, I really hope a big play like that doesn't cost them a game down the line. But also, you know, I'm going to really kind of study them, the defense on the road, because you know, it is different on the road than it is at home. But again, I'm not down on them. That I believe I enjoyed watching them, even though they gave up 38 points. Like you just said, I mean, they made some big plays, the takeaways, and I agree with you. They're going to be fine. But I just think we wouldn't be doing our job if, at least I don't feel like, if we just said, oh, they're elite, they're championship. Oh, sure. I mean, I think you just kind of need to break it down. But that said, boy, Myles Garrett, that talk, you know what, Scott? Here's another thing I thought about. I was telling my wife this, and I was telling some people at work. You know, they're fun to watch. How many years have we suffered through terrible football? Like, I don't care that they gave up 38 points. The bottom line is they won the game. This is a fun team to watch. And Myles Garrett is fun to watch. I mean, what he did, this multiple sacks, that blocking that field goal was unbelievable.
Yeah, as Kevin Stefanski said yesterday on the Zoom call when he got a little tired of all the Deshaun Watson questions, he said, he goes, well, we haven't even talked about Myles Garrett yet. And, you know, we're however deep into this pod, and we haven't talked about Myles Garrett yet. He was unbelievable. And, you know, I don't know if Stefanski said, you can't play a better game than he did or whatever his quote was. You know, he goes, if there's another level to play at, he's playing at that level. You know, people complain that Myles Garrett doesn't take over games enough. Well, he certainly took over that game, and he was the best player on the field, especially in that first half when, you know, I mean, he accounted for 17 points by himself. He has two strip sacks, both lead to touchdowns. One of them recovered in the end zone for a touchdown. The blocked field goal leads to a Browns field goal, and you can say it took 3 points away from the Colts. So it's at least 17 points, maybe 20 points that he affected by himself. So that's the type of performance, the type of player he is. We've seen it before. Maybe, I know Browns fans want to see it more. I don't know if that's realistic, but when you see it, I think you have to enjoy it, and you just appreciate how he can take over a game, how there's few people in this world, let alone in this league, in this world, with the talent that he has, with the athleticism that he has. We saw it time and again. And I think he's played phenomenally all year, and it crystallized in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you mention the stat, the 82 career sacks?
No, I did not.
So did you see that? He has 82 career sacks before turning 28 years old, passed Reggie White for the most NFL sacks before that age.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a weird stat, right? 28 feels kind of arbitrary, but right?
Yeah.
But anytime you pass Reggie White on any list, it is impressive, right? And 82, he's got 82 sacks in 91 games. I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, it's and that's why I get that he's not perfect, and I get that he jumped off sides and that hurt the Browns a couple times, but I don't get the criticism that Garrett lines up for. It just, you know, and we've talked about that before, and we don't have time now, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, everyone was wanted to throw their shoe at the TV when, you know, it was first and goal, second and goal, third, and they couldn't get in. And it was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, they were out of timeouts, right? That's why they couldn't run the ball. I mean, they would have.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chad, and because we need to talk about this. They're out of timeouts.
Yeah.
First and goal at the one. Right. If you run it, then it's a scramble drill with your backup quarterback. You got to figure out, okay, and you can't spike it there because downs are so important, right? You need all four shots at the end zone. Unless you score on a run on first down, which is not guaranteed, it's a risk. So that's why Kevin Stefanski threw the ball three times. I liked yesterday when he goes, I knew our fourth down play was going to work, which was the run to Hunt, right? And he said it with real authority. You know, real authority, which you don't always get from Kevin. He's not like a doesn't brag kind of guy, but he felt really good about that call. He felt good about the line. Obviously, it worked. I have no criticism for how he handled that. I thought he did a good job at the end of the first half. It felt like he stole a possession and stole points at the end of the half. I thought the Colts helped by throwing it in the end zone, and we get, you know, the Browns get the strip sack fumble in the end zone. But I thought Stefanski did a good job. Again, the unwarranted criticism. The guy's won two games in a row with P.J. Walker, right?
Yeah.
He deserves a bunch of credit for that. But to get back to the four-down sequence, first down, first of all, David Njoku should catch that ball. I thought he had time to bring it in and secure it, and he doesn't, and then the ball gets poked out. But Harrison Bryant's wide open, and P.J. Walker misses it. Like, it's an easier throw, easy touchdown. Doesn't happen. Second down. They run that slip, you know, that slip shovel pass to Njoku in the middle. It's a touchdown if Njoku doesn't let it hit in the face mask. So, and, you know, it wasn't a perfect shovel, but still. Like, so Stefanski had to call two plays that should have been touchdowns before they got the fourth down. So I thought he did an excellent job there and, you know, won him the game.
Yeah, well, if he knew it was going to work for sure, he could have run it on first down. They could have just won it on first down. But I'm kidding.
You know, and then you leave more time for the Colts. You know, I mean,
What I'm saying is, he felt really good that fourth down play would work. I mean, you know, nothing's a guarantee. But no, you're right. I think he played it perfectly. Because everything you just said, and then you knew they were going to run the ball on fourth down, right? Yeah. I mean, was there any doubt? After they weren't successful on those first three plays, they weren't going to run. I mean, I just knew they were going to.
No, I mean, I would have gone 90% they run. You know, maybe you think, okay, you can play action here, but with the linemen calling for the run and they're yelling at the sideline, and you know, it's funny that they don't quite appreciate that what the situation is, right? Like, it's weird how everybody thinks that. Oh, you got to run it. You know, and you know, like I said, Njoku catches it or Walker throws to Bryant. Then nobody's thinking twice about it, right? Because they would have scored on first down with a really good play call.
We mentioned Stefanski, how well he does after buys. He's 8-0 now against the AFC South. Yeah. I mean, you know, got to give the guy credit. I mean, he's got numbers attached to him that are much better than a lot of Browns coaches that we've seen.
I mean, he's got a winning record. You know,
he's got a winning record. Yeah. So, real quick, don't want to, because we got to get to this week. Two more things real quick, though. The refs. Any issue with the Colts are upset about those calls.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like talking about the refs. I think you just got to live with the calls that they make. I thought the first call, the huge call, the one that wipes out the Walker fumble, was the right call. I thought he impeded Amari Cooper. I thought the PI in the back of the end zone was questionable. The ball certainly looked too high and uncatchable to me. Having said that, that doesn't necessarily change the game. Yes, I understand the Browns got the ball at the 1 yard line, but that would have just been second and goal from the 8, right? Like, they could have still won the game. So the first play affected the outcome, but I thought it was the right call. And, you know, the second call might have been a bad call, but I didn't think it was one of those where, you know, it changed the game by itself.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Dustin Hopkins, this is unbelievable. NFL record now, 150-yarder made in 5 consecutive games. He's 7 out of 7 on 50-plus. Wow. I mean, we've talked about it before, but we're going to talk about it again. They would not be 4-2 without this guy.
Oh, my gosh, no. They don't win the last two games without him. Right? He's had he gave 14 of the points, I think, against 13 against San Francisco. Whatever he had this week, 13, 14, 15, whatever it was, if you count the extra points against Indianapolis. Man, he's been phenomenal. You know, you talk about when you grade Andrew Berry moves, you got to give this one an A+, right? And probably makes up in a big way for, in a lot of ways, for the draft pick of Cade York, right? One mistake, he covers for his mistake. And I think he deserves credit for that. The amazing thing about Hopkins, he was 50% in his career from 50 yards, 15 for 30, and he's 7 for 7. You just didn't expect it, and hopefully he can keep it going.
Yeah. All right, anything else before we move on to the Seahawks?
No. Uh-oh.
All right, you want to give a little – let's see, we got enough time for a quick PetTrak scouting report?
Yeah, it's going to be quick because we got to run, but plus I haven't watched them yet, Chud. I've had other stuff going on, driving back from Indy. I mean, I've seen a play. I know Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, the receiver, didn't play last week.
Like
they're a good team, right? They're competitive always. Pete Carroll's a good coach. That place is really difficult to play. I'll be out there. I'm looking forward to getting that experience, seeing what it's like. That's a loud place to play. It's going to be tough for for the Browns offense to operate.
Yeah.
I think they're like a team that you can beat. They're also a team that can beat anybody, you know, and there's a lot of those middle ground teams.
Yeah.
And I think Seattle's one of them.
Yeah, they had Kenneth Walker III, tough running back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they got some good receivers. You mentioned Metcalf, and then of course drawing a blank. I'll get it here in a second. What am I thinking? I'm thinking of Tyler Lockett.
He's a good one.
Yeah. So good defense, well coached. So. It will be. And like you said, you know, that's kind of the thing about the Colts win. I mean, that's a good win on the road. I mean, the Colts offense, they got some good players on that offense. And to win on the road, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at to get that win. I mean, I know the Browns were favored, you know, big win. All right, so here we go. Let's get into prediction time. Unlike last week where the Browns were favored, this week they're not favored. Started at 2.5. I saw 3. I haven't looked recently. I will here in a second. But last time I looked, it was 3. I still got 3. So Seattle's favored by 3, over under of 40.5. We both are victorious last week. I moved to 4-2. You moved to 3-3. Here we go. What do you think? Is it my turn to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I won't spend a lot of time on it. I'm going to dive back to my preseason prediction of predicting them 10-7. And I'm pretty sure I had this one as a loss with the uncertainty of Deshaun Watson. If PJ Walker plays, can the guy pull off a third one in a row? I don't know. This is like a real road test here. I mean, they're going to have to overcome flying across country, playing in a hostile environment, and you know, you lose Ford, that hurts. Could they overcome it? Sure. I just think at the end of the day, I'm going to go with my gut here and unfortunately pick the Seahawks. And again, as I say a lot, as the week goes on and we find out more about Watson and maybe we can study a little bit more because it is only Tuesday, but making the prediction on Tuesday, which is kind of tough to do, I'm going to go 23-20 Seattle.
Okay. I like it. I'm right in the same ballpark. You know, I kind of want to make two picks if there's Watson or not Watson, but the way, and I know it was a small sample size, the way he played, you know, I don't know if there is a difference in the picks, right? So as of now, regardless of who plays quarterback, I feel like I'm going to go Seattle 20-17. Tough place to play, long road trip, coming off two, you know, kind of down to the wire wins. And, you know, you look at the schedule and they come back for Arizona. Then they got a couple division games. Like, this just feels like, you know, if you're going win-loss, like you kind of mentioned, win-loss, this feels like a game that they could go in and lose. Now, they could obviously win. The defense could play great. Watson could play great, whoever. But right now I'm going Seattle 2017.
Yeah, I was close to that score as well. I mean, we're in the same ballpark.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Well, Chud, I appreciate it as always. I'm going to leave people hanging on this trivia question because I actually have to get to a doctor's appointment. But we have a trivia question. We'll give you the answer, and we have another one coming from my Twitter guy. And they're both good ones. This one, I know this. I knew the second one. I did not know the first one. So we'll take care of that next week. But Chud, thank you. Thank everybody for listening. As always, this has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast. And you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.